I love those, but that was scary. You know, Shay Hicks put that one together from a multimedia department because Brian Garrett didn't have his priorities together. He was somewhere having a baby with his wife this week. I don't know what's wrong with it. No, Brian and Courtney have their second baby, baby Zoe Garrett. So let's give him a hand. So thankful. Brian did not get to be in the room when Ray was born. Courtney's a rock star. He said, I got to be in there for Zoe, and it's freaking awesome. I'm just quoting him. And I said, yeah, it is, man. You're just undeniable that there is a God and that he is amazing when you see a child born. It's just amazing. And I'll get into this in a moment, but Satan is a liar. We're going to talk about and establish this reality for the next 5 weeks and then talk about the top five lies to our culture today. But before we do, thank you again for continuing to support our restaurants and coffee shops. We're only taking local ones. We're not doing food chains. Some of you have made some suggestions, but we're really trying to help the mom-and-pa businesses that have suffered so much. So this week, go on over to Red Silo Coffee Roasters. If you haven't been there, it is a great place, 6590 Holman Street. Just go 64th Indiana, turn north, past the mall strip, turn right, go back east, and you'll run into it. Why am I telling you? Put it in your phone and Google it, all right? Anyway, so it's a great place. Greg and I meet there on occasion, and we love it. So we want to support them. We want to get them to a better place this next week, and we're excited to do that. Also, all of the graduates, excuse me, spitting up here, I'm so excited. First two services this weekend, Saturday night, and the first one Sunday, we had a few. But if you are a high school graduate or a college graduate, advanced degree to graduate, would you just stand up for a minute? You're not outside washing cars. Stand up if you're a graduate. Congratulations, Kayleen. Congrats. Way to go. Way to go. Awesome. I think most of our grads are outside washing your cars, all right? So make sure that you thank them and congratulate them. Get your car washed. All the funds go to sponsoring kids for summer camp who could not afford to go otherwise. And some people say, well, why is it so expensive? Hey, we didn't build the camp, okay? We just find the best one we can get to for the best price. So support them. You can go by the table, make a donation, go get your car washed. They're doing a great job. I would encourage you to do that. You know, the big question in the midst of all of this is, comes to me this way. Pastor, you don't really believe in a literal devil. Yeah. As a matter of fact, if I didn't believe in a literal devil, I'd have no reason to believe in a literal God. Because there is a battle between good and evil. And all you got to do is have your eyes open spiritually to see that battle. It's raging. Matter of fact, if our eyes could be open to the supernatural realm right now, we'd all pass out or die from fear. Because there's a war raging in this very room. Angel, demonic, okay? Satan is real. I'm going to show you a few passages, but I'm not really going to cover this subject in depth. Over the next 5 weeks, we have two really special teachers that will be teaching. I'm taking my family away for a little while. We need a break. You all probably do too. It's been 4 years, and we're going. And so Pastor Paul is going to be teaching, and Pastor Neil Mauman's coming back. We're so excited to have Neil. Yeah, he's awesome. If you missed Neil the first time, do not miss him this time, okay? You will be so blessed. But it's going to be a great, great series. And that will lead us into 90 days around the Word. We're going to read the Bible in 90 days. And we're going to preach. You know, that might not be near as impressive as preaching through the Bible in 12 weeks. So we're going to try to make that happen. Don't want to miss it this summer. Don't disconnect. It's probably going to connect you to the Word of God like never before. But in saying that, the devil is real. And what the devil is not, Paul will cover some of this, but what he is not is omniscient. He isn't omniscient. He isn't everywhere at the same time. He's not God. Okay? He's got a demonic force. He took a quarter of the angels, some estimate in the hundreds of thousands. We don't know that number. Could be in the millions. But there is a demonic force. And you don't have to look very far to see it. You can feel it. You can sense it. You know what's happening. You see the evil in the world. You go, how could people be so evil? Because there is a devil. And the Bible makes it clear, but he's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent, excuse me. He's not everywhere. He's not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. He is not God. And so that's important to note. But I'll tell you what the Bible says he is. I'll just give you a glimpse before we jump into the number one lie that I see in our culture today. And it's this. Look at 1 Peter 5. Be well balanced and always alert. That's the word in some translations says sober. Kind of confusing. Sober is like, well, I don't get drunk, so I'm good. No. Be well balanced and always alert because my enemy, the devil, roams around incessantly like a roaring lion looking for its prey to devour. You guys know much about the animal kingdom? You know, I mean, it's all over, right? We can watch National Geographic type shows all day long on your computer or your phone. If you know anything about the Serengeti, anything about Africa, places where lions live, a lion can get a little bit lazy because the lionesses do the work. Very unlike the human race. So the lioness lays under the banyan tree and sees, you know, the gazelle and stands, puffs its chest and roars. You ever been around a lion that roars? Man, I've been in a place roughly called a zoo in Costa Quiche, Peru. Literally, you could reach in the lion cage. I didn't, but you could, all right? And I was standing next to the lion cage when the lion roared. I'd never heard anything like that in my life. So the lion roars, the gazelle runs the other direction, and four or five lionesses take it down. That's what Satan has the power to do, roar. In a Christian's life, he does not have the power to take you down because we've been set apart and sealed by the Holy Spirit through salvation. We are not victims of the enemy, but we can make ourselves part of his prey. So he says this, take a decisive stand against him and resist his every attack with strong, vigorous faith. For you know that your believing brothers and sisters around the world are experiencing the same kinds of troubles you endure. You're like, wow, I'm sure glad we don't live in that period of time when people are being fed to lions and killed. No, you live in a bubble. I live in a bubble called the United States of America. 70,000 Nigerians have been murdered in the last 6 years by hostile, radical Islamics. And the police in Nigeria, who are mostly Muslim, turn their head. In the last 2 weeks, 79 Nigerians have had their homes burned because they're Christians and they've been macheted to death. People are dying around the world for the faith. Satan is loving it. Matthew 4 says this, then Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. He wasn't tempted by an entity. He wasn't tempted by a force. He was tempted by a person. And he showed us how to withstand temptation. Do you know how he showed us to withstand temptation? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God, the Bible, his word. 1 John 5:19 says, we are sure God's children do not keep on sinning. Talking about our new nature, once we become a believer, we still have the old nature, the body of death, the world system that Satan has messed up and still has a lot of free reign. And really, just the pleasures of the world. But he says, when we become a believer, we have a new nature. The new nature, the Holy Spirit in us, when we yield to the new nature, it's impossible for it to sin. That's why when God sees you, Christian, he sees the righteousness of God, even though you and I sin, okay? But he says, God's own son protects them, and the devil cannot harm them. So he has no power except what we give over them. But I saw a movie, and that's your first mistake. Okay, read the Bible. So here's the deal. The devil is real, and he has told a lie in our culture today. And he's told a lie to a lot of us. This lie is permeating our culture. In the last 15 years, it has become a lie that's not only sold to men, but now women, young girls, are believing. And that lie is this. Family, marriage, that's not important. Career, that's important. Now, I want to make something very important, very clear. Both are important to God, and you can have a wonderful family, a healthy family, and a career. You can be both a mother and a successful working woman. You can be a wonderful father and a successful working father. However, it's hard work. So I want to show you a couple things before we talk about how to do this. We're going to go all the way back to the Old Testament and see the last book in the Old Testament, the 39th book, Malachi, often called Malachi. It's not. It's Malachi. And so we'll talk about this. But look at this. Bible comparison between family and work and career. Let me show you what the Bible says. First, family was miraculously created by God. Work was divinely initiated. Very important distinction I like to share. And this is important because in a moment, I'm going to share a lie about work and career that I just took out of an article that I picked up in a People magazine 2 years ago. And it said this. This was a statement, and it was called The New Woman, or something like that, the 21st century woman, said this. And I want you to pay attention to the words, because if you read this, you might go through it and you might take out of it a positive. But I want you to listen to the words. The article went on to say, for centuries, women have been reduced to mothers, wives, and homemakers. But they are finally discovering what their real life and purpose is all about. And they are finding true fulfillment in their career, success, and education. Now, here's the problem. All in all, I think most young girls, most women would go, oh, that's great. You know, it's very empowering to the woman. They're finally able to do, you know, everything that a man can do, and the opportunities are out there, and it's getting better and better every day. That's fine. But what it's saying is a lie from the pit of hell. There is no such thing as anything on this earth that's more fulfilling than your family. Never. There never will be. You're like, well, I don't have a family. You are part of a family. You're listening, you're breathing, you're part of a family. You're also, if you're a Christian, part of the family of God that's going to last forever. So family is everything. Let's look at how God miraculously created family. Look here in Genesis chapter 2. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. Not normally hard, just give him a Rockies game on a Sunday afternoon. While the men slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib and brought her to the man. At last, the man exclaimed, "This one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called, whoa, man." That's in the original Hebrew. Because she was taken from the man. All right? Here's the deal. Any guy, red-blooded American guy is going to go, whoa. He sees the woman he's attracted to. He sees the woman that meets all of those ideals or expectations in his mind. And she is called, whoa, man, taken from the womb. Now, this is important, though. My mom used to have this hanging in the house decades ago. And it said, woman was not created from the head of a man to rule over him or from his feet to be trampled upon. She was created from his rib to be equal with him in humanity. I spent 6 years trying to find out where that was in the Bible till I realized it wasn't. But it is a true statement. And it's a true statement that I have used. I've done 400 or 500 weddings. And here's what I share when I share this. I say, ladies, you're equal with your husband in humanity. You just both have uniquely different offices of responsibility. Okay? Equal, but different in responsibility. You have a privilege, women. I know in the midst of delivery, it might not feel that way, but you have the privilege of giving life, bringing a child, having a connection with a child that even as a father, we could only dream of. I love my kids. I love my I would give my life right now. No questions asked. For my kids, my wife, my children, my grandkids. But I don't have that matriarchal maternal connection. That is supernatural. Okay? So here's what I want to give you, because when we talk about marriage and family, when I talk about these subjects, I don't want you just to hear you should or you shouldn't. I want you to hear how to do this, because that's what the Bible teaches us. Look at the next few verses in Genesis 2. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife. Why don't you do this? This will help me move through this a little quicker. Therefore, man shall leave his father and his mother. Circle that and put number 1 next to it. And hold fast to his wife, circle that, put number 2 next to it. And they shall become one flesh, circle that, put number 3 next to it. And the man and his wife, circle this, were both naked and were not ashamed. Circle that, put number four next to it. Why is this important? When I was 19, I was challenged by a very well-known pastor to discover the four words that are critical and paramount for a healthy marriage. Now, I was actually getting married my freshman year of college. And my wife was in her sophomore year of college. I gladly remind her that she is older every day, all right? She looks 10 years younger. I have something I have to say, right? So here's four words. If you want your marriage, future marriage, your whatever marriage you're in now to be healthy, these four words are critical. This is what I came up with personally and have for years taught them. Number one, severance. You can't have a healthy marriage without severance. That means you got to cut the apron strings, boys. And wives, you got to transfer the respect from your father or a father figure to your husband. You will not have a healthy marriage if neither of you do that. I know. You know why? Because we lived it. The first couple of years were horrible. People say, well, the honeymoon was finally over. What? What honeymoon? We've been about 3 weeks and we were fighting like we hated each other. Okay? But there was a severance issue. I had left home. I was gone. She had a dad who was dying of cancer. Just found out 8 months into our marriage. It was almost impossible for her to transfer any respect or anything. And I understand now. Didn't then. Okay? Severance, number one. Number two, perseverance. This is the decision we made when we got married, not because we're so good. We made this decision because God says it. The first thing you need to do when you build a home, and I'm talking about the family unit, but I'll use a house as an analogy, is go to the back door, put titanium bars across it, seal it shut. No back door, no outlet, no escape. Because as long as that is there, you will always turn to it. That's it, I'm done, I'm out. Okay? And listen, no matter what you've done, where you've been, who you've done it with, any of that, whether you've been divorced or you're in a new marriage or whatever, I want to tell you this first. God's grace is sufficient. He takes repentant Christians who say, God, that was not the best choice. I want to make the best choices now. And he blesses their lives. Remember, the Bible says a righteous person doesn't fall. It says a righteous person falls and gets back up and gets back up. And gets back up. So perseverance. Third, unity. Now, when I say that about divorce, when it comes to perseverance, let me say this. They say 50% of marriages end in divorce. That's not true. I was given a book about a year ago. I read it. And one of the statements in that book was that we're really around 38% of marriages that end in divorce in this country. And in the church, it's sadly about the same. However, 87% of second marriages end in divorce. Grass is not greener where it's not greener on the other side. I've said this for years. It's greener where you water, throw poop on it, do all that stuff. Aerate it. Takes a lot of work. Keep it green. All right? Unity is about unifying together. We're one in Christ, and not just physically, but spiritually and emotionally. Do you know how hard it is? All you got to do is be married for a while and discover, wait a second, these are my ideals and expectations, but they're not hers. Do you know why most marriages suffer within the first year? You bring in unspoken expectations. That's why we won't, Pastor Barry, Pastor Scott, myself, none of our pastors here will marry a couple that doesn't get at least 6 months of marriage counseling from us. So if you're about to ask, forget about it. We're not going to marry you if you're not going to do it God's way and try to get a little help for your future marriage. Okay? And 6 months is barely skimming the surface. All right? And then fourth, intimacy. Intimacy. So here's what he says. I created sex so that you could procreate and enjoy it in a marriage between a man and a wife. Guys, that statement is not an assault on the trans community, the LGBT community. It's not an assault on anybody. It's a fact. God created male and female for life. Now, can God work in relationships that do not meet his ideal standard? He does. He does. It's a unique challenge. It takes repentant people, Christians. He does amazing stuff. But do not buy into this wokeism that's being sold to you, because it's not only stupid and idiotic, it's not scientific or biblical. There are men and there are women, period. Okay? Now, we deal with those issues, trans, LGBTQ, every day, and we love people, and we love them to Jesus, and we walk beside them, and we condemn nobody because we don't stand in that position, and everybody's welcome in this church, no matter what background, no matter what you've done, your ethnicity, it doesn't matter. We're all seeking the same person's glory and his grace. Look at Genesis 2:15. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. So work was also given by God. It was divinely initiated. I had a person in this ministry many years ago. She thought she was a theological juggernaut. She would confront all the time. 25 years ago, I preached a message on work is a blessing. Oh, she went ballistic in the foyer. It's a curse. I go, you're wrong. Okay. Work is a gift. The curse was what happened to the earth, to our bodies, to the fact that we have to work now and it's stressful and there's pressure, but you're wrong. Work was created before the fall of man. He said, Adam, see this beautiful garden? You get to tend it. Anybody tended a garden? How about one the size of Manhattan between the Euphrates and Tigris River in the Mesopotamian Valley? Before, when everything was like the rainforest. And how about this? Oh, by the way, see all those animals? I've made about 2,000 species. Name them all. That's a job. Okay? Next, Bible comparison between family and career is this. Family brings heavenly promises. Work brings earthly benefits. You can't have earthly benefits if you don't work, but you're not going to have heavenly promises and blessings if you don't make your family the number one priority in your life. Listen, there are families in this room who are hurting deeply. Five in this room who have lost siblings, children, spouse, that I can see. I'm just glancing, suffering. Do you think they would stand up and tell you, take advantage of every moment with your family because you don't know when it's going to end? On this earth. Look at Exodus 20:12. I use the family as far as father, mother, children. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live a long time in the land the Lord your God has given you. This is the one command you see over and over. It never says work good at your job so you can live a long life. It says honor your parents and you'll live a long life. Maybe it goes back to my mom's phrase, I brought you into this world, I'll take you out. Maybe that's all it is, all right? I don't think so. I think it parallels this benefit. If your kid's four and you say, don't run out in traffic, Johnny, they run out in traffic, they're not going to live very long. You tell your kids when they're teenagers, don't do drugs, don't get involved in things you shouldn't, and they do, they're not going to live very long. They get older and say, forget mom and dad, they don't know what they're talking about, I'm going to drink and drive. It's possible they won't live very long. That is not God blasting your child or any of you because you're sinful. It's just a fact of not listening to those who are wiser. However, I've never met a person in their 90s who didn't love their parents and honor them. Just a coincidence? I don't know. So family is a benefit. And if you're a young person, it's a blessing. If you're a young person, honoring your parents may be very, very difficult, especially as you become a teenager. Honor them, because by doing so, you're honoring God. It's just like the commitment in our marriage. We don't commit, oh, you know what, honey? I'm going to love you forever and never let this go. Because the reality is, you're human. There are going to be days you're like, I love you. I can't stand the sight of your face. That's just, guys, wake up. That's reality. All right? I've never felt that. All right, so work is also a challenge. Look at Proverbs 14:23. If you work hard at what you do, great abundance will come to you. But merely talking about getting rich while living to only pursue your pleasures brings you face to face with poverty. This is a sad statement about our society. Today, people actually believe that you've made it when you never have to work again. Try finding someone who has retired that didn't find something else to do of value. You won't find many. You know why? They don't live more than 5 years after retirement. Statistical fact. Find somebody that thinks having money and never having to work is good. I can tell you about a number of my close friends whose lives are miserable because they have money and they never had to work. In Frisco, Colorado last week, they said that 65% of their jobs for the summer are still open. They can't find employees. This is the first time in the history of the city. Why? Because they can't pay people what they're getting paid to sit on their backside. That is a problem. Work is a gift. It doesn't always feel like it. And some jobs are a curse, but we get to work. Finally, family is the essence of heaven. Work is the effort of serving God and others in heaven. All right? What that means is this. In heaven, we will all be family. People ask me all the time, what about my spouse? When the Bible says no giving and taking in marriage, when Jesus said that, will I not be married in heaven? Guys, let me tell you what you'll be in heaven. You'll be so intimately connected to your spouse and your children and the fellow brothers and sisters, you will have never, ever experienced the euphoric, truly transcendental, if I can use that word, state of relationship, the nirvana. I can use all kinds of New Age words, okay? That you're going to experience in heaven, okay, here on earth. So it will be very different, but it will be better than you ever dreamed, okay? Family is too important to God to say, well, now you're in heaven, you don't even know each other. That's not the case. Do not think that for a moment. Revelation 22:3 says, and every curse will be broken. What's the curse for work and everything now? It's sin. It's the sin nature. It's life is hard. It's the fact that we're all going to die. Okay? And it says, will be broken and no longer exist. For the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there in the city. His loving servants will serve him. Another word for that is they will work for him. They will work for each other. There's going to be work in heaven. But there's going to be no stress, no exhaustion, no taxes, no economy we have to worry about. We're not going to be, you know, wiped out at the end of the day. One of the dumbest statements preachers can make, and I've heard it a number of times, is, well, when we get to heaven, we'll finally be doing everything for the glory of God. What? The Bible says whatever you find to do right now with your hands, do it all for the glory of God. Do it all. I don't care if you're a stay-at-home parent, do it for the glory of God. You're a doctor, do it for the glory of God. You know, you're a carpenter, do it for the glory of God. You're an attorney, just kidding. Do it for the glory of God. That's a joke, all right? Devil made me say that, all right? Revelation 14:13 says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this down. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they are blessed indeed, for they will rest from their hard work, for their good deeds will follow them. Guess what everything in heaven's going to feel like? Rest. Even the hard work won't be hard. So God says work is a blessing. It's a gift. But family, it's a divine, miraculous reality. And we're going to have it forever. So in light of that, let me ask you a question, not to make you feel bad. Because believe me, I spent 3 days this week, I didn't sleep. I worked 24 hours for 3 days because everything has to be done so I can leave at the end of the week. And we have a TV show. We have videos to shoot when I get back. It's an insane schedule. It's stupid. It's just stupid. All right? That's just all there is to it. My wife's like, you can't keep doing this. But for whatever reason, I keep doing this. Okay? It's not a good thing. That's not something I'm proud of, all right? You get into something that you have to do, people depend on you, it can be very, very difficult, all right? All of us have been there to one degree or another. How do we get to the point where our priorities are where they need to be? How are we at the point where, get to the point where our families and our marriages and our future marriage are honoring to God? I'm gonna give you three principles, and they come from the book of Malachi. And they're gonna be very hard to hear to a degree. Because how God says it to the nation of Israel, he says it to us, it's hard to hear. But let me give them to you. First, begin with a commitment to God's covenants and vows. Begin with a commitment to God's covenant and vows. Let me just tell you real quick what's happening in the time of Malachi. The nation of Israel is really on their last leg. They've been in a sin cycle for a couple thousand years. I'll bring the sin cycle next time when we go through the Bible. I'll teach that. But they're in a sin cycle of prosperity, greatness, down to apathy, laziness, and back to sin, okay? They're at the point now where God is saying, guys, this is my last prophet to speak to you for 400 years. Can you imagine not hearing from God, his word, his spirit, his people for 4 seconds, 4 minutes? 400 years. Do you know the next prophet that would speak after Malachi? John the Baptist. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make way the path of God. All right, now, during that time, he says this to the believers. Are we not all children of the same Father? Are we not all created by the same God? Then why do we betray each other, violating the covenant of our ancestors? Judah has been unfaithful, and detestable thing has been done in Israel and in Jerusalem. The men of Judah have defiled the Lord's beloved sanctuary by marrying women who worship idols. In other words, by marrying people who are unsaved, who are not believers. May the Lord cut off from the nation of Israel every last man who has done this and yet brings an offering to the Lord of heaven's armies. In other words, you're doing all this stuff during the week, but you come to church, you bring your offering. Here's another thing you do. You cover the Lord's altar with tears, weeping and groaning because he pays no attention to your offerings and doesn't accept them with pleasure. Why? Because Hosea 6:6, he says, I don't want your altar sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your money. I want you to love me. You cry out, why doesn't the Lord accept my worship? I'll tell you why. Because the Lord witnessed the vows you and your wife made when you were young, but you have been unfaithful to her, though she remained your faithful partner, the wife of your marriage vows. Now, this doesn't always have to do with a physical affair or an emotional affair. It can have a lot to do with a pornographic affair, a lot to do with holding those thoughts in your mind, and every time that person in your marriage upsets you, you go to that fantasy place. So how do we do this? How do we honor your covenants? I mean, come on, Rick, it's 2021. Listen, guys, it was a nightmare 2,500 years ago, the world they lived in. And these were the commands, these were the covenants. Number one, be faithful to your spouse. Be faithful. And we would never in this ministry say, hey, you got to be faithful to your spouse and do the right thing if we didn't give you a dozen ways to help you do that. Not just tell you, but walk beside you. Look at Proverbs 5. Share your love only with your wife. Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. I had to tell a friend not long ago, I had to say these words after he railed on his wife for a long time. I sat in a monologue longer than I've ever sat my entire life. And then I got done. I said, brother, you know I love you, but I'm going to tell you something. Women were created from here. They are responders and they are reflectors. So what you just told me points back to you. You want that love, you give it unconditionally because she's responding and reflecting you. That's how God made her, like it or not. Being faithful to your spouse isn't, well, she's not meeting my needs. She wasn't there for me. She did this. She abandoned me. Get over yourself. She's responding to your failure. Now, some would say, you don't know that. I have been everything to her, and she was unfaithful. Yes, those times do happen. There's sin in the world. But the lion's share of the time, that is not the case. Next, be honest with yourself. Be honest with who you are. Be honest with the people around you. In our ministry, we have a number of ways to do that. We have our Bond of Brothers gathering on third Wednesday of every month, 5:30 in the morning till 7. We feed you breakfast. We have a great time together. Gary Avicius and Pastor Barry, Pastor Scott are taking this to a new level. I'll be there, continuing to be there. It's something I really just started to have a connection outside of this with men in the ministry. And we have 40, 50 guys that come. We'd like to see more so that we can connect. Ron and Doug have a men's study on Monday night, 6:30. Doug has a study on Thursday nights for men, 6:30. We have support classes on Thursday nights, amazing support classes. We'll tell you more about those. Celebrate Recovery, Wednesday night. Hurts, habits, hangups. Those are what cripple and paralyze most relationships. Pastor Barry, Vicky, the team, they're there on Wednesday nights. Come on out. Dinner's at 6:30, and then they meet until about 9. Is it 6, Barry? Oh, okay. Well, hey, you should tell me. I'm the leader here. Just kidding. So 5:45, come out for dinner and be a part of it. It's an amazing, absolute great ministry. Look at Proverbs 11:3. Honesty guides good people. Dishonesty destroys treacherous people. Okay? I think about this. To get to the place where your relationship becomes helpless and hopeless, you have to eventually lie to yourself. It's so much better. It's so much better to be there. Now, even if you've taken that path, even if you're on your next marriage or you're single now, God has grace and His grace is sufficient. But no matter where you're at now, make this resolute. I'm not retreating again. And then finally, be resolute in God's purposes. The covenants he was talking about are being resolute in his purposes. You know, Pastor, I really wish I knew what my purpose was. Sometimes it is hard for me to hear that from people that have been here for years. I'm like, okay, it's like teenagers. Let's talk about this again, all right? Just one more time, all right? You were created for God's purposes, to glorify him in everything you do, build relationships with his people through ministry, act like Jesus a little bit more every day, serve in ministry and care for others, and tell others about Jesus' love. Those are your purposes. That's what you're here for. However you do it, your way, your job, do it, but do it. Colossians 1 says, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. So even though Satan has confused the culture and wrecked the system, God's still in charge. Remember when Satan went to God and said, I bet your servant Job won't stay faithful to you. God allowed terrible things into Job's life. But at the end of his life, it says he blessed him 10 times more, twice as much than before. Satan accuses you every day, and Jesus sits there going, it's under my blood. It's under my blood. Second, we got to raise godly children by guarding our integrity and loyalty. Let me tell you what godly children are not. They are not godly all the time. Let me tell you what godly parents are not. They are not godly all the time. Okay? I stand up here and tell you all the time that my family isn't perfect. I still get people who come up and go, well, my family isn't as perfect as yours. I'm like, my family isn't perfect. My wife and I have been married 36 years this August, been the best, happiest 2 years of my entire life. I'm just kidding. I mean, we have the greatest marriage. I've never loved her more. I've never appreciated her more. I've never valued her more. And she is a strong, capable career professional. I have two daughters who are highly educated, and they are pastors and professionals. I have a daughter-in-law that's a professional. Okay, it's not about that. It's about discovering that to raise children in a home that's godly, you got to have integrity. Do you know what the greatest thing I brought to my kids? Yes, I coached everything. I was there for everything. That wasn't always good. I was their pastor, their coach, their counselor, their dad. What a living nightmare. I didn't realize that till it was over. My kids are like, I'm fine, right? Okay. So we have great relationship. We have the happy, we're very close family, but we're not perfect. Now, in the midst of all of that, here's my situation. I would go to my kids And I would say this often. Hey, everybody, sit down a second. I messed up. I should have never talked to your mom that way when we were driving in the car. That's disrespectful. You don't talk to her like that. I don't talk to her like that. Can you forgive me? My kids will tell you today, my son's 35. He'll tell you today, Dad always said he was sorry, and he always accepted responsibility. That was the strength I brought. A lot of other things I did okay, but that was the strength. Look at Malachi 2:15. Didn't the Lord make you one with your wife in body and spirit? You are his. And what does he want? Godly children from your union. So guard your heart. Remain loyal to the wife of your youth. I know husbands who sit with their children and bash their mother. You can't do that. You will destroy those kids. You have wrecked them. They're going to need counseling. You're going to need counseling, okay? You've got to honor the mother and the father. Wives, same for you. You can't bash. My parents never did that, ever. Now, I can't say I've ever had a conversation with my kids about their mother in a negative way. We talk more freely now as they're adults. We tell our marital issues, but we don't put each other down. I never got that from my parents. I didn't even see my parents fight. That probably wasn't good. We needed to learn that. But they never bashed each other ever, ever, ever to us. If you've done that, look up here. Stop it. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, the lovers of God will walk in integrity, and their children are fortunate to have godly parents as examples. So if you're living in a way that's bringing glory to God, praise God, you're raising godly children. Not perfect, but godly. You're like, but you know what, Pastor? I did all that, and they turned 18, and they went off the rails. Hey, hey, hey. Been there. Okay? They made some decisions that were like, what? Come on. Remember my son goes off to college, you know, goes to the University of Nebraska, play basketball in Kearney, and they're saying there is, it's UNK. You can't spell drunk without UNK, okay? There ain't much else to do but play basketball, tend cows in the field, and drink. And there were some moments, some things that happened. And they could have been catastrophic. They weren't. But here's what I know. The Bible says, raise your child up in godliness, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. Here's the beauty. I'm an old pastor, 36 years, okay? 32 in the same place. My footprints are engraved in this stage, okay? I get the privilege of seeing your kids come back. 21, 22, 23. Not always. Sometimes it takes longer. Pray for them. Love them, okay? One thing that I've seen derail Christian kids isn't godliness, it's legalism. We are legalistic. We have all these rules and mandates, but the love and relationship hasn't been where it needs to be. That takes a little longer to recover from. We've got to have the commitment that Joshua had after he led the nation of Israel into the promised land. Moses didn't get to do that. And they had this great time of prosperity. And then toward the end of his life, they were going back down this path. And he says this, but if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors who they served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? And look at this, you might star it, underline it. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Put an anchor down. Put a rod in the ground. Put a stone, you know, one of those markers when you're out on the trail, and say, as for us, we're going to serve God. And dads, don't say, well, my wife's the spiritual one. She takes him to church. Grow up. When I said sever from your mom and dad, you also have to sever from your job and say, my number one job is to be the spiritual shepherd of this family. And finally, stay committed and dependable to the end of my life. stay committed and dependable to the end of my life. Rick, it is so hard. She doesn't respect me. She's not there for me. She hasn't met my needs. And all of that may be true. I have good news for you. It will end at death. You'll be in perfect peace. And when she gets there, she'll be perfect. Just like you, okay? Some of you say, well, that's not funny, because I'd like to have a couple of happy years. Let me tell you, work at what you have. Take our classes, take our counsel, let us help. Before you ever think about throwing in the towel, let the ministry be there for you. Pastor Scott Dozer is waiting for your call. Pastor Barry, the team, we're waiting for you, okay? Look at Malachi 2:16, and again, God doesn't mince words. Why should I? For I hate divorce, says the Lord. I don't hate divorcees. I hate divorce. The God of Israel. Why does he hate divorce? Because it's devastating. I have counseled people in their 60s who are still thinking their parents might get back together. That is a true statement. They're in their 80s. Why? Because it rips out the foundation of everything for those kids. You know, because many of you have suffered it. He says, I hate this. And then he says, this is why. To divorce your wife is to overwhelm her with cruelty. You want to circle that. And by the way, this was in the day when only men could divorce their wives. Today, you could say to divorce your spouse is to overwhelm them with cruelty. Says the Lord of Heaven's Army. I can almost tell you exactly what's happening in a marriage. I haven't even counseled. I've been doing this so long. Like, yeah, she's pulled away. She doesn't want to talk. She's over. I said she'll be married in 3 months after the divorce is final. Happens almost every time. Somebody came along, started telling her all the sweet nothings, pulled her aside. You're beautiful. You're amazing. I'll be waiting. With the guy, he just cuts off all emotional ties. Gets ugly, gets angry, finally gets her to either pull the plug or be so devastated she wants out. Neither of those are healthy, obviously. He says, guard your heart and do not be unfaithful to your wife. That unfaithfulness isn't always about a physical relationship. It can be an emotional relationship. It can be a work relationship. It can be a porn addiction. All of those things are reality. Look up here, everybody. Everybody watching online, we love you. I want you to pay attention to this. Don't be ashamed. You're human. We all mess up. We all make bad choices. We all follow the flesh at one time or another. Many of us have gotten to places in our marriage we don't even know how we landed there. It was so good a year ago, right? There is hope in Christ. There is hope in his church. You know, when people gave me grief, and I got a lot of it for opening on June 7th, we've been open for almost a year. Do you know that 12 churches last week in our community just opened? When I took that grief, they said, well, you can just have them watch online. I said, listen to me, the church is not a TV show. It's about the body of Christ coming together to help each other. And that's what we've been doing. We're here for you, but you have to take the step. And men, let me say this. If your wife is broken and devastated, no matter what she's done or said, you take the step. All right, honey, call a counselor. I'll go. No, you call the counselor. Show her you love her that much. That I'll get help, honey. 3 years ago, we had an explosive summer. I couldn't believe it. After 30 years of an amazing, really amazing marriage, we had an explosive summer. I didn't know I was depressed. I didn't know I was hurting so much. I didn't know that this had taken a toll on me. I didn't know I was volatile. And she didn't know that she was resentful. You know what we did? We went to a counselor. I needed to go somewhere and talk to somebody. There's nothing wrong with that. There's everything right with it. Take the step. God says, I don't want you to go down this path. It's devastating. We have something called Extreme Marriage Makeover. You can come to that class starting in August, Thursday nights, right? Beth and Jack Jedstead are amazing instructors. We have Before I Do Again, which is if you're getting remarried, set the right foundation, taught by couples who have been through this. All of this is here to help you. But let me just say this, family is everything. Now, I'm going to tell you how special family is because it's not just your earthly family, your biological family, it's the family of Christ. This week, we lost another foundational member of this church. People said to me, what's wrong? I actually had a pastor say, what is wrong? What's going on over there? You guys have buried 15 of your close friends in 20 weeks. No, 16 in 22 now. And here's why. Because when I started this church, I was 22, but all of those amazing people that came along that first year, they were like 40, 45. Guess how old they are now? 75 and 80. They're moving into their golden years. We can't take life for granted no matter how old we are, but they're at that point now where every day could be the day. And this week, we lost a dear friend last Sunday, actually. I climbed on my Peloton. It was a late day, late night, trying to get my ride in. Teresa Holder Morrison, my good friend of 40 years, calls, and she's like, Rick, Myrna, she's dying. I'm like, what? Myrna Holder, I've known for 45 years, her and Carol. She has been like a second mother and friend and grandma and one of, if not the most supportive member of this church. I won't go into why I say that. I will just tell you that all of you are a direct or indirect result of her, her generosity, her love, her commitment. She went into the hospital with back pain. She died of a massive heart attack once. She was dead for 16 minutes. She came back. I walked in. I prayed with her. The entire family was in that room. Doctors don't like that. Who cares? The whole family was there. It was beautiful. I prayed. I wept. I put my hand on her head, and I cried, and I told her, thank you. Her son, one of my best friends, died at 37, Brad, who was where I started this church, in his living room. And it was hard to say goodbye to her. She then came back, started responded to my voice, then died again at 2:50 a.m., was dead 12 minutes, came back. She had something to do. She needed to say something to her daughter, Christy. Christy told me what she said. We'll do her memorial Wednesday. I'll share that, 10 a.m. here. Guys, family is everything, and you have them for right now. That's it. Let me have you bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. If you're here and you're maybe saying, I don't know where my family's at, I want you to know something. You can become a part of the family of God right now. Just right where you sit, just talk to God silently in your mind and say something like this, God, I'm a sinner, I admit it. I've done things wrong. But today I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. And I believe he's risen. And I put my trust in him alone to save me. Not him and your good works or church attendance or giving up bad habits. Jesus Christ alone. The Bible says the moment you do that, you are born again into the family of God where you will be his child forever. His spirit now lives in you. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to have you come up, not stand up, come forward, nothing like that. But in a moment, I'm going to have you raise your hand and put it right back down. That just tells me you got it. So if you're saying today, I believe and I receive the free gift of salvation. Would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? God bless you guys. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Praise God. Welcome to the family of God. We'd love to know who you are. You can do that. You can text the word believe to 720-895-9000. We'll call you this week. We have a Bible for you. Welcome to the family of God. Father, thank you for these who are watching, these who are here. God, may we leave today challenged, but encouraged that today's a new day, a new dawn. And Lord, we can follow your plan and be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.